appreciate you, Lord.
Praise God, praise God. I'm glad Jesus was willing to go to the cross, bear the shame and reproach, and suffer and die that we could have salvation.
Yes, amen.
And I appreciate Him tonight. I'm so glad what He means to me in my heart and my life. Everything would be different tonight if it were not for Jesus.
That's right, brother.
Praise God. And we certainly appreciate the Lord tonight and what He means to us. And we're just glad to see all of you here in the service. And certainly glad to see the Dry Fork folks come in and Red Level. Enjoyed Brother Harvey's testimony tonight. And all you other folks, I may not know where you're from, Brother Eddie, and wherever you're from, we just appreciate you coming. Some of you I don't know, but I'm glad you're here tonight in the service. We do want the Lord to have His way here in this service tonight and in this revival, these few nights of meeting, that the Lord would meet with us and minister to our hearts and give us just what we need. See, He knows what we need. We may not know every time what we even need ourselves, let alone the needs of other folks, but He knows.
He knows.
And He knows how to minister to our hearts, maybe when we wouldn't know at all, but He knows. And I'm glad He does. And He cares tonight, and I appreciate Him. Appreciate the opportunity to be here at Martinsville, Brother Bill and his family. Just appreciate them so much. Brother Bill is my brother-in-law, and I married his baby sister, and we become a part of the family about 18 years ago, and we've been blessed by their ministry and being a part of this family, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here. Again tonight, and you pray for us tonight. I really, this is a little maybe different message than typically I have began revivals with, but I really felt like maybe the Lord would have us to preach from this scripture tonight.
God bless you.
And we desire your prayers. The Lord knows every single heart here tonight, and He knows what the needs are.
Yes,
have your Bibles you'd like to read with us. If I get too loud, you turn me down or tell me. To the book of St. Luke, chapter 13. St. Luke, chapter 13. Praise God. And we'll begin reading in the 23rd verse. Luke, chapter 13. And verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall say Abraham, and when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You may be seated. I'd like to preach tonight on being rejected by God. Rejected by God. Here in this scripture, you'll see that the disciples, they said unto the Lord that they would be few be saved. This is after the Lord had talked to them and told them about, I believe it was right here where they, Well, I was thinking it was a place. But anyway, the Lord told him, said, and there be few saved. And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate.
Yes.
For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and ye shall not be able. Once the master is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye shall begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. The scripture teaches us in this scripture here that when Isaac and Jacob and Abraham are taken in before the Lord and said there'd be others standing by and witnessing this, and they would be thrust out.
Yes.
It's an awful thought to be rejected in this life. Rejection is not anything that any of us enjoy, or any of us would enjoy being rejected. All of us may face rejection from time to time. Even in school, children are rejected at times, and maybe we're rejected by individuals. Even children being rejected by family, being rejected by parents. And rejection means not to be received, to be cast aside, be thrown out. And the scripture teaches us that there's a time that a man will be rejected by God. And we read in the Bible where the first king of Israel, Saul, was rejected by God. The Bible said Saul was a chosen vessel. He was a chosen man. He was the first king of Israel. And the Bible teaches us that when Saul was chosen, he was a chosen vessel, and God received Saul. And he said, Saul, when you was little in your own eyes, he said, I could use you. There come a time in Saul's life he disobeyed God, and there as he waited before he went to battle, and the Bible says he waited 7 days and waited on Samuel to offer sacrifice. And as he waited, he got impatient and decided he'd take things in his own hand. Began to offer sacrifice, and the Bible says that when he offered sacrifice, just about as he got finished, Samuel came up. He said, Saul, you shouldn't have done that. He rebuked Saul. Saul disobeyed the Lord. And Saul, that was his first transgression with the Lord, as he disobeyed God and offered sacrifice, not being one that was permitted to do that. He should have waited on Samuel. Later on, the Bible says that Saul went down to destroy the Amalekites from the command of God through the prophet Samuel. And as he went down, he had instruction. He said, Saul, you go down, destroy everything. You destroy women and children. You destroy everything in the kingdom, all the animals. You don't leave anything. Spare nobody.
Right.
Saul went down after the instruction of Samuel and began to war against the Amalekites and began to destroy the people, but he saved some. And the Bible says he saved the king, Agag.
Right.
And he spared some of the best of the flock. And the good things, and the Bible said the things that were despised, he destroyed, but he saved the good things. Because he feared the people. The Bible says that the people wanted him to save the best things. And after he went to battle and he come back from the war, and he had destroyed everything except the goodly things and had spared the king Agag, the Bible says that Samuel had been warned of God the night before. God knew what was going on.
Right.
He told the prophet Samuel what was going on.
Right.
The Bible says that when Samuel met Saul there, and Saul greeted Samuel as if everything was okay, and said he had done the commandment of the Lord and had done the things that God had told him to do. The Bible says that Samuel told him, said, Saul, if you've done what the Lord said, why do I hear the lowing of the oxen and the blading of the sheep? Said, why do I hear that? And he said, why did you spare the king? Said, the Lord has already told me what you've done. And Saul told him, we want to spare these for sacrifices unto the Lord. We want to go and offer sacrifices. And we didn't see any reason. You know, when you take things in your own hand, reason things out in your own mind, you'll come up to the wrong conclusion. We got to follow whatever the scripture tells us. We got to follow whatever the word of God says. It don't matter what kind of reasoning we can reason in our own mind. There's been a lot of times that people came to me and talked to me and said, well, preacher, what do you think about this? And in your mind, you think, well, you know, this sounds pretty good. And I believe, you know, in my own compassion, I'd feel sorry for them. In my own compassion, I would consider their situation. But you got to go back to the Word of God and what it says. It's not what you and I think. It's not what somebody else thinks. It's not what the preacher says. It's what the Word of God says that we got to go by, because after a while we're going to be judged by.
That's
Samuel said, it ain't what you thought, Saul. It ain't what the people thought. He said, but obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, it'd be much better had you obeyed the Word of God and listened to the voice of the Lord than to have saved and spared the sacrifice unto the Lord.
Right.
The Lord didn't want that sacrifice. The Lord had told him what he wanted, but he took things in his own hand and did as he wanted to do and did not obey the Lord.
Right.
I'm telling you, Saul done a bad thing when he done that. God rejected Saul. God wouldn't have Saul then. He said, the kingdom's going to be taken from you, Saul. Said, it's not going to be given to your posterity. It's not going to be in your lineage. It's not going to be in your family. But God's got another man he's chose. He has rejected you, and now he's going to receive another. But the Bible says when God told him that, or Samuel told him that, that Saul wept. Saul repented. Saul said, Samuel said, pray with me. Go with me and worship with the Lord. I want to repent of this sin that I've done. I'm sorry for what I've done. But it was too late to repent then. It was too late to call on God then. I'm telling you, once God has rejected you, friend, it'll be too late to do anything. And you don't have to wait till the judgment every time to be rejected. God rejects men and women in this life. There comes a place that God will draw a line on people. That we don't know where that place is at, but I'm telling you, you better not trifle with God. You better not play with God. You better be serious about serving God, because after a while, God's going to draw a line, and you will never be received after God rejects you. When God casts you out, when God says it's too late, when God says I won't hear you anymore, he won't hear you no more. When God says I'll not receive you anymore, he won't receive you anymore. Oh, when God closes his mercy door on you, it'll be too late for you to do anything then. You won't be able to do anything to open that door. When God shuts through the door, nobody else will open that door. It'll be too late for you to do anything. God rejected Saul. Oh, the Bible teaches us that he was rejected. And the Bible says he prayed that he'd pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship. But Samuel said, Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected you from being king over Israel. Rejected by God. Rejected. Cast out. Never no more to be used of God. Oh, the Bible teaches us that God sent an evil spirit to Saul. And God didn't. Saul went on and reigned for a little while. And there was David anointed to be king. But God, Saul was rejected. And I'm telling you, Saul died an awful death too, folks. Yes, sir. Saul was in the battle and saw the enemy was coming in on him. And he told his armor bearer, he said, thrust me through. Take your sword and take my life. Don't let them take my life. But his armor bearer would not do it. And Saul fell right on his own sword and took his own life and died in a rejected state with God. It was too late for Saul to do anything. Died in that state, rejected of God, not accepted. God had pushed him aside. God had said, I'm going to set you over here. I can't use you no more. You're not any good for me anymore. It'll be too late after we reject it, folks.
Right.
I was in a hospital visiting with a family some time back, and the mother was dying, and she was a Christian, and her center daughter was there in the room with us, and I was talking with them, and a little while the Spirit of the Lord come down right there in the hospital room, and tears began to run down her face. And I was talking to her about the Lord, and I told her, I said, you need to get in. And
I said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord's dealing with you right now. You can get saved right here in this hospital room. And I encouraged her to pray and give her heart to God. Right then, it was time. Right then was the time to pray. God was dealing with that heart. And I told her, I said, you can't get in just any time you want to. You can't just go to God anytime you desire. You say, well, I'll just wait. I don't like the way things are today, and I'm just not going to. I just don't think things are ready for me, and I got some other things I want to work out, and I got some other things I want to do, and I've got plenty of time and plenty of years, but you don't know how long you got.
Oh, that's right.
And when God rejects you, it'll be too late.
That's right.
And I told her, I called her by name, and I said, the Lord may not always give you that opportunity. She stopped. She looked at me with amazement. She said, Brother Glenn, you mean I can't get saved anytime I want to? I said, no. I said, except the Spirit of the Lord draw you, you can't be saved.
Right.
I said, except God is dealing with that heart.
Right.
Oh, the Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. I'm telling you, it'll take heartfelt repentance for you to really get right with God. It takes more than just say, I believe in the Lord. It takes more than just to say, I want to serve Him. I'm telling you, it takes a drawing from God, and it takes a work in your heart. It takes real, true repentance with God. It takes godly sorrow to work that repentance. It'll take somebody that's been feeling the Spirit of God breaking up that stony ground and working around that stony heart. You can't do it just because you say, I'm ready now. I've went out and I've enjoyed and done the things I want to do. I'm ready now. But you better get in while you can. The Bible teaches us that Saul was rejected. There's others in the Scripture that was rejected of God. God rejected them. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, if you'll remember about Esau and how he sold his birthright for just a little bite to eat. He came in from a hunt, from the woods, and he told his brother, he said, give me just a little bit. And he said, sell me your birthright. He didn't count it too valuable to him, did he?
Right.
It didn't mean very much to him. Oh, I'm afraid some folks are not looking at this thing as serious as they ought to look at it. I'm afraid when, you know, they look like they're getting along pretty good, and they're just not looking at it as serious as they ought to look at it. This is the most valuable thing that's ever been offered to all of mankind. There's nothing of any greater value ever been offered to us than an invitation to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the great invitation. He said, oh, everybody that will, all that are thirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. That's the great invitation given to all mankind, not just to a certain group, not just to a few, but to every man, woman, boy, girl. Everybody, that invitation's been extended to them. I'm afraid many are taking it too lightly. They feel the Spirit of God dealing with them. And they go their way, think nothing of it. And they think, you know, they'll just enjoy their time. They're selling out for just a party. They're selling out for just a fun time. They're selling out to fit in with the teenagers and their peers. They're selling out for jobs and opportunity. They're selling out for money and acceptance. They're selling out for titles. They're selling out for all kinds of little things that's going to fade away after a while. It's just temporal things, but there's some eternal things that we need to be concerned about, and it's where we're going to spend eternity. And you better be serious about it. You better not take it lightly like Esau did. He took it lightly. He said, my birthright don't mean much to me. Oh, he sold it easily. But I'll tell you, Naboth wouldn't sell his inheritance. No, sir. He told Ahab, he said, ain't no price on it. You can't have my inheritance. This is mine. It's been given to me, and I'm going to pass it on down. He said, you can't have it. There ain't no money in the world. There ain't enough you can offer me to take this. I tell you, that's the way I feel about my salvation. There ain't enough money in the world. There ain't enough powers in the world. There ain't enough popularity in the world to have my salvation. The world didn't give it to me, and they can't take it away. The Lord gave me this.
Thank God.
Praise God.
Thank God.
I've been born into the family of God. I was bought with a price.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My name is recorded in heaven. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Christ Jesus. Said he came unto his own. Christ was rejected. Yeah, he was rejected everywhere he went almost. Oh, the Bible said he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he the power that they could become the sons of God.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, mine ain't for sale tonight. No, sir. There ain't no price on it. I'm taking it serious. Esau didn't take it serious. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, many years later, it's written and recorded, said Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. It was his. I mean, it was right there for him. This great salvation I'm talking about, it's ours if we want it. I'm afraid there's folks in the church today that's taking it lightly. They're not serious about serving God. Oh, I mean, you know, they want to be a Christian. They want to pray enough to kind of soothe their conscience and feel a little better and go to church on Sunday, pay the tithes once in a while. You know, just, I'm a good Christian. I like to go to church and I enjoy Sunday school, or maybe I teach Sunday school, or I've got a youth group at the church, or one thing or another, but they're really not serious about serving the Lord. Their heart just ain't in it like it ought to be. They're really not considering it like it ought to be. They're living according to just a routine instead of a conviction of heart that they love God more than anything else in the world. And they serve Him because they love Him. They keep His commandments because they love Him. They do what they do because they love Him. They're not living this way because somebody said that's the way you ought to. But they're living the way they live because it's in their heart. It's written on the fleshly tables of the heart. And God has put it in their heart. They loved Him more than anything else in the world. They ain't nobody else could take that away from them. That love, that devotion, that dedication to God. I'm telling you, the world can't take that away from you. But if you're not careful and you're just teeter-tottering and going along, you'll be one of those that'll be rejected.
Yes,
sir. The Bible says over there in the book of Revelation, I believe it's the 3rd chapter, about the church of Laodicea. Yes, sir. He said, I have somewhat against you. He said, You're not cold and you're not hot. He said, but you're lukewarm. Hallelujah. That's those in the church, folks. It ain't just a man out trying to be rejected of God that says, I don't want Him. I ain't going to have Him. And turns his back on God. And God says, I'm going to reject you. But that's those that's sitting in the church pew. That's those that's coming every Sunday. That's those that's standing behind the preacher. That's those that's doing the things they think they ought to do. But they're not on fire for God. They're not a living for Him because they love Him with all their heart. He said, if you're not cold or hot, he said, but you're lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out. That's rejection, friend. Hallelujah. Oh, I know it sounds kind of coarse, but that's like vomiting out. Nauseated. Makes God sick. I'll tell you something. God's interested in folks doing what they, being what they say they are. Amen. Living it every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, morning, noon, and night, on the job, off the job, at home, in the church, everywhere you go, living for the Lord, being the same, standing for Jesus when the pressure's on and when the pressure's off, when it's in season, when it's out of season, when they reprove you and rebuke you, and when you're standing there and they're waving you all, he said, stand for me, be hot or cold, and not lukewarm, else I'll spew you out. Hallelujah. Praise God. A condition that we get in, that God rejects us, that God says, I can't use you no more. Oh, the Bible says he said he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. He said, for you know not how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought for it, but he was rejected. Come a time when God shut the door. God pulled the line. God said, I've messed with you enough. God said, that's all I'm going to do. Amen. I've extended the invitation. I've extended opportunity. I've given you a space of repentance. He gave Jezebel space for repentance, the Bible says. But she repented not. There's a time there she could have got in. She could have fixed it. But there come a time when God said, that's far as you're going. Oh yeah. I believe Judas Iscariot could have repented. I believe he could have had a chance to get it fixed. Oh yeah. But come a time when the line was drawn. There's a separating there. I believe it's that way with everybody. I believe every single individual, God gives them a chance and opportunity. But where that line is, only God knows. But I'm telling you, you better make sure that you take full advantage of your opportunities that God has given you. Oh, Brother Harvey's testifying about a long time ago that the Lord saved him and worked a work in his heart and his life. I'm telling you, had he rejected God, had he went on his way, how would it be tonight? I'd say it'd be a whole lot different than what it is right now. After he had rejected God, I've seen him. I went to the hospital just the other day. There was an elderly lady there. Somebody came by my house and said, preacher, I want you to go visit my mama. I didn't know them. They lived in our community. I'd heard maybe some of the family name. I went down to the hospital. I found her there, and she was a pitiful sight. I asked her daughter before I went, I said, does your mama know the Lord? Is she saved? She said, no. She's been trying to pray since she's been so sick. They think she's going to die. The doctor said if we didn't move her gallbladder, she's 84 years old, she's going to die. And they said her heart wasn't in a shape where they could operate. She'd die on the operating table. She said, but she has been a praying preacher. And tears swelled up in her eyes. She is a sinner too. And she started to cry. And I told her, I said, the Lord wants to save her. The Lord wants her to be saved. He don't want her to be lost. And you don't need to be lost. You need to get right with God. I went down to the hospital and I visited this lady, and I don't know anything about her life. I don't know anything about how long she's prayed, how many times she's prayed. But when I went there, Brother Eddie, I knelt down beside her and she sat up in the bed and she called me fella. She said, fella, pray for me. Fella, pray for me. I prayed with her, but no spirit of God. You couldn't hardly feel nothing at all. And I prayed with her and I held her hand and I patted her hand and I said, you need to pray. She'd say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And in a little bit, she'd look at me and she'd say, fella, pray for me. Fella, pray for me. Over and over, felt no victory, felt no conviction, felt no spirit of God. I prayed with her and finally I left. And I told her family, if there's anything I can do to call me. But I'm telling you, she may have been rejected by God. I don't know, but I'll tell you, you don't just continue to go right on. And right on, disobeying the voice of God. When God speaks to that heart, He's a calling you and a pulling for your heart. You can't just continue to go right on and right on and God just keep reaching out to you. Oh, there'll be a time in there He'll cut you off. He that is often reproved and hardened his neck shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. You don't just keep going on. You just don't keep having mercy. I don't want to tell so many stories, but another lady in our community named Miss Parker came to the church a number of times. We visited in her home. Some of her family's come, prayed a few times. She's an elderly lady, I don't know, probably close to 90 years old, little bitty woman, probably weigh about 65 pounds, little bitty short, just thin as she can be. Health not good. Visited her in the hospital and she wasn't saved. Her family called me and said, preacher, would you please go pray with mama? She's about to die. The doctors have done give up on her. The doctors have done turn everything loose off of her. Said, we're just waiting on her to die. I rushed to the hospital, got there in the ICU unit there. They disconnected everything. Took the IVs off. Took everything off. The doctor said, she can't live. She's going to die. She lay there, and if you ever seen anybody dying with their mouth gaped open, and just gasping for little shallow breaths just every once in a while. I've seen a number of them do that. Some of you may have. Just a gasp every once in a while. She's lost. Her family all in the room, probably 8 or 10 of them. They're all lost. In a little while, she moved just a little bit. Hey, and I done prayed with her, and I stood there with the family just trying to comfort them. And when she moved, they said, preacher, preacher, she moved. Please talk to her. They didn't want mama to die lost. They said, Mama's not saved. Please pray with her. I remember kneeling right there beside the bed and crying as I prayed and said, Lord, please give her another chance. Let her come to enough to pray. I went back the next day and they met her daughter on the way in the hospital. And she said, Preacher, you're never going to believe it, but Mama's sitting up in the bed eating. And they sent her home. That's been 4, 5, 6 months ago. She's home now. She come to the church and she prayed. We went to her home, I don't know how many times, and prayed with her. But still yet, she hadn't accepted the Lord in that shape. I will tell you, the Lord will reject you. Oh, God's mercy reaches out far, but I'm telling you, there comes a point He'll draw a line on you. Oh, Esau was rejected. Saul was rejected. And others through the scripture been rejected. The Bible tells us about the 10 virgins. Matthew chapter 25, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Those 5 foolish came knocking on that door. Oh, the Lord said, it's too late now. It's too late. Too late. Time was up. They were rejected. They should have went in. They should have been ready. When you're not ready, it'll be too late. Just Ruth come to Vienna. It'll be too late then. Oh, tonight, I don't know who the Lord may be speaking to tonight. I don't know if anybody here is lost. I don't know if anybody here is in a lukewarm condition. But I believe the Lord is speaking to somebody. Somebody needs the Lord tonight. Somebody needs to pray and seek God. Call on His name. You know why we're here tonight? The Spirit of God speaking to your heart, you can get it fixed. I mean, if you're lukewarm, you can get it fixed. If you ain't been doing like you know you ought to do, you can get it fixed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus wants to save you. Because after a while, when we stand before the great I Am, He begins to judge us and separate us. Put the sheep over here on the right and the goats over here on the left. You know, we're going to know one another then. The Bible says you're going to see them. You're going to see some go in and then you'll be thrust out. When families part, when loved ones part, when neighbors, church, family, people we've known, some pleasing unto the Lord and some rejected by God. Young person tonight, now is a time to seek God with all your heart. Don't wait till later years in life. Give Him the best years of your life. With sincerity, with dedication. Don't waste those years. Use that young, sharp mind for the glory of God, that God could use you in His kingdom. Would you stand tonight?
Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes.
Would you like to pray?
From the moment
would you come tonight?
Of our birth, till
is there one here tonight not saved?
Shall come to die.
Would you step out?
God has given
come to this
us
altar.
This choice to decide.
Let the Lord save
our
you
destiny.
Would you come?
In a million years.
Would you come? Would you come?
Where will you
think
be?
About it, friend. This is a
where
short life.
Will you be?
This life's not very long. It swiftly passes by.
From
I mean 20, 30, 40 years slip by
will
so quick.
You be happy?
Soon you're not young anymore.
Will you
soon
be
life begins to pass by. You become an older person. And soon you become the elders.
Eternity.
I believe I'd get in while I could. Would you come?
I ask this question, where will you be?
Anyone tonight feel like you want to seek the Lord?
In the Bible,
you need something from God. Something stirring in your heart that you want to seek the face of God.
When
would you
the
come?
People of would you step this out? Earth will be gathered would round God's throne.
There's others.
When we stand,
are they others tonight?
Before
seek
God,
the Lord. Why don't you come and pray?
The world to see, will He say, "Well done"?
Oh, I believe I'd seek the Lord tonight.
Where will you be?
Won't you come? Christians, would you come? Saints of God. Sinner friend, would you step out? Come on, the saints together. Would you step out? Would you come?
Oh, while ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question, where will you be? Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth till the time shall come to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years.